leases, due process.
And as presenting, don't touch the button. And as presenting. It's her first presentation, but I think she wants to use her first presentation favours this afternoon or when she presents a bigger paper.
Okay, so now we can be unfriendly. Okay, Anna, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. So, good morning, everybody. So, the paper we are going to discuss now is Agenda Paper 3H on due process. The ISB due process handbook includes mandatory and non-mandatory due process steps to be undertaken before the publication of an exposure draft, the issue of a new IFRS, or amendments to existing IFRSs. The staff think that the board has complied with all mandatory and sufficient non-mandatory steps as listed in the handbook relating to the leases project. Does the board agree?
Yes.
That was easy. Thank you very much.
Oh, that wasn't easy.
We're done?
That, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there you go. Does not agree.
This week, you know, the board may ask us whether we will dissent, and I will personally dissent. PK may follow. I will follow PK, and maybe we'll put one reasons for us to dissent. That is, we don't think the proposal is complete.
What? The proposal is not complete?
Yes.
Now you have to clarify what you mean. And what does this have to do with due process?
You know, I already mentioned some of the topics, and we made decision without careful deliberation, and some of the technical issues and approaches we not carefully deliberated, and we have not seen the draft yet. But PK and I are thinking whether there are some areas we don't think the board have already carefully discussed, and some areas may need decision, but we'll not see it.
You give us some examples, Weigwe.
A question of interest is one area. I'm not have see the pictures yet. Impairment, revaluation, and the last one, you know, PK mentioned. Right after we made decision on the approach, we decided, and about combination of assets, leased assets, if there is land, building, and equipment. And currently, because I first explain my worry, my concern. Currently, you know, let's take U.S. standards as example. There are clear guidance on, you know, how to account for if you have different kind of piece, land and buildings. Since we made different cut for building or for real estate and equipment, I have no ideas and what's the technical consequence based on our decision. And we once prepared a paper about half years ago, and that paper I personally don't feel very good. And I discussed privately with the staff. And we didn't discuss the paper even. And now we made decision, and I think the issue had to be tackled. And we not discuss at all.
Well, Weigo, I find this very awkward. First of all, we have been discussing this issue I don't know how many years. And secondly, I have been it's every board member's right to dissent. And I have been receiving signals from, it's no surprise, let me put it this way, it's no surprise to me that you are going to dissent and that PK is going to dissent. I've heard this a long time. That means that that your objections have been in existence for a long time, and that there has been lots of opportunities that if there was something wrong with due process to discuss that. My understanding has always been it's more a question of substance, which it's very reasonable to disagree. There are a lot of standards where people dissent. But if there is a problem with due process, it's the duty of board members to come up with these points at an early stage, at a timely stage, and discuss it here in the board. And this is the first time I hear of it.
Philippe. Don't worry. It's not to signal dissent or concerns with due process. However, in reading this paper, I made a note in paragraph 5. Seems to me that we have not spoken to the Advisory Council for more than 15 months now on the status of this project. Last discussion apparently was April 2011. So I think it would make sense to sooner rather than later, and probably next meeting or so, to brief the Advisory Council on where we are.
Yeah, well, well,
they were given an update at the meetings as part of the, as part of Hans's chairman's update, not a detailed one, but they have been given an overview of the status of the project.
Okay, so it is not clear from this paper. It seems to be unaware of where we are. So.
Yeah, rather the, I think that was rather a reference to specific presentations on leases. It has always been included along
maybe
with
we should
the other
have a specific, because so many changes have taken place in the thinking that it probably deserves a detailed presentation to the Advisory Council.
Okay. I think perhaps one way to deal with this is that when the staff is drafting the exposure draft, things might come up and it might be a good idea to put it in the reserve to come up with the sweep issues in September or something like that and deal with those issues so that there is a... I'll give you an example to elaborate what Vegu has touched on. I'll give you two or three examples, but let me start with one. Suppose you're doing straight line, because it's almost guaranteed that you will do straight line for property. There is an impairment for that property. It could be 100%, it could be partial impairment. We are not clear how you would do the day two after the impairment in terms of straight line. Do you suspend straight line or do you force straight line, and how do you do that? That would be something which is a common occurrence, because impairment in a straight line scenario is not going to be uncommon. Straight line impairment is going to be I would not say frequent, but more than what it is right now, so that's a given thing. I'll give you another example.
I don't think we should do this right now. We're talking about due process. This is highly technical. And I'll let you finish.
Hey, Hans, listen.
But I mean,
Sue asked for examples. We are giving the examples. So if you don't want us to give examples, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But Sue specifically asked for examples, so we are just giving that. So I think my solution to the staff is that perhaps when you're drafting it, when you come up with something, it might be a good idea to come back and think when, if it raises to the level that it needs to a sweep issue, do the sweep issues. I'm trying to be constructive here.
Were you guys not able to address these issues or raise these issues in all the lengthy debates that we have had here?
Hans, first of all, let's understand. Straight line never came up till March, okay? So March is the first time when the board decided, when we did it, and the decision for straight line happened in one or two board meetings. Mm-hmm. The issues that Vegu and are raising are regarding straight line that came up. If you look about it, it's only two board meetings, and I'm not that smart to know those issues immediately.
Yes.
I just wanted to respond to say that the PK, what you're suggesting is absolutely built into our process anyway, and that's what we intend to do. And hopefully if you read in our cover paper and whatever, you know, in our next step, we already quote that we view the decisions to be taken at this meeting as the last to be made before re-exposing other than those that may arise during the drafting process. And we would always intend that the examples of what you raised are issues that are not issues, that are other items that, that we have thought through as staff that we think is some areas where we think application guidance would be useful. It's not something that we felt warranted a change in any board decision that was taken, but application guidance would be useful, and there are areas that we intend to make clear in drafting. So the normal process that would be is when you as board members see that drafting, and if you think there's anything in looking at that that is unclear and that warrants a public board discussion again, That's absolutely part of our process, and we would definitely intend to bring this back at sweep issues if there's something that arises.
That's all I'm suggesting. Yeah. I'm trying to be constructive here.
Yeah, and that's why I asked for an indication of the issues, because I think that the issues that you and Weiguo are raising are issues that we are aware of, and they're issues that the staff have been thinking about. The staff always have to make an assessment of whether we need to bring more papers back now. Based on their assessment so far, they don't think we need to bring papers back because we don't think that there's questions that we need to ask the board. We know that there's additional application guidance that we need to add to the document that obviously you'll review as part of the balloting process. If as a result of that you think there's still questions that need to be answered, of course we've got the opportunity to bring sweep issues and to bring things back to the board. So I don't want there to be any sort of, for those listening to the meeting, any sort of impression that we're trying to sweep stuff under the carpet. Rather, we think that there are issues that we need to address in the drafting. We think they are drafting issues, and obviously there's always the potential for things to come back as sweep issues, but we're not ignoring the points that you're raising. It's just the way that we prefer to approach it in terms of the efficiency of the process.
Any more comments?
Can you just remind me when we did discuss impairment?
Well, we discussed impairment at some point. I have, by the way, the decisions here. Yeah, at some point in 2011 about, you know, what impairment. So I think it's impairment in the context of the right of use asset and how, you know, what impairment testing we'd apply to that. And for the ISV, we decided that that's a non-financial asset and you'd go to IS 36 and do impairment testing. Now, in the context of then June's decision to have, you know, where we now have two different income statement profiles, we re-looked at that, and we do think that that decision stands in a sense that we still think that no matter how the right of use asset is measured, that decision the boards took to go to IS 36 and how you would actually apply the impairment test on IS 36 works in the same way. You know, the carrying amount might be slightly different, but the actual impairment testing that you would do would be the same, so we felt there wasn't any change in the board's decision needed. Quite rightly, as PK raises, I think it would be useful to show the kind of mechanically how does the you know the approach work if you end up recognising impairment, and that's something we would intend to include in application.
If you reverse impairment charge, is there any technical issue ever?
I have a very, very brief comment. Yeah. I followed this project for 8 years. It's been going for 15. During my 8 years, I've participated, I think, in more than 200 meetings with the constituency. We have had perhaps 1,000 meetings discussing different aspects of this. We have had thousands of letters. I can't imagine that we can have a more open discussion of a project than what we've had on this project. There can be small things left over, of course, but I think we have had a real good case here of saying this is a transparent organization interviewing the whole world on their views of this topic.
I just want to note that on June 1st, 2011, the boards discussed impairment of the lessee's right of use asset.
Okay. I would like a vote on who thinks that all mandatory due process steps and sufficient non-mandatory due process steps have been followed in this project.
The conclusion is issue or exposure. Conclusion. Yes. The conclusion is to issue or exposure.
We're going to ask that at a joint meeting.
Yeah, in the afternoon, just to clarify, that in the afternoon's meeting, when it's a joint meeting with the FASB, we will be asking the boards at that time for permission to move into drafting, and also asking if anyone intends to provide an alternative view. So those are questions that we'll ask you this afternoon in the joint meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.